Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. So join with me, follow along as I read these words from the book that we love, starting Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, what kind of greeting might this be? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And then this passage from the Gospel of Matthew, starting in chapter 1, starting in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm pretty confident that if there was a support group called Planners Anonymous, I would be a member. And not just a member, but probably the chapter president, if not the founder. Hi, my name is Josh, and I'm a planner. Planning comes as natural to me as tying my shoes. Planning is as important to me, is as indispensable to me as the oxygen that fills my lungs. I like to make plans. I'm a planning addict. And I'm wondering if there's... I know there are a few, several, many of you who would also join me at the Planning Anonymous meetings. Yes? Anybody else here like to make plans? Oh, I see one hand and I see one finger pointed. Oh, I see a few other hands. Yeah. I see fingers being pointed. You'd go to those meetings. Yes, indeed. Right? Right. So some of us like to make plans. Some of us love to make plans. Some of us make plans when we're going to make the plans. Yes? If that describes you at all this morning, then I'm going to tell you that this message is for you and for me. But if that does not describe you, do not fear. If you are saying, no, I'm a little bit more, go with the flow. I like to live free. Right? My idea of a plan is that I maybe sort of kind of know what we're going to have for lunch after worship today. Maybe. If that describes you, do not fear. I believe that there's a message for you as well this morning. So whether a planning addict or a free spirit, I believe there's a word for us here this morning. And it starts here with Mary and Joseph, because here's the thing we find about with Mary and Joseph in these two passages is that Mary and Joseph, they have plans. Mary and Joseph have plans. They have wedding plans. Both of the passages we read this morning, they DTR, they define the relationship in this way, that they are pledged to be married. This is not a spring fling. This is not a summer romance at the beach. There's been a long journey leading up to this moment in their relationship. Right? They're pledged to be married. They've been engaged for a long time. Did you know engagement in the first century started in childhood? Probably at an early age, their parents said, you know what, you and you, you're going to be a happy couple together. And if not the parents, get this is true, there were professional matchmakers that said this family and this family need to be joined together. And so at an early age, it was deemed that these two are going to end up together. And so from an early age, they are engaged. And the second step in the process of that relationship is then to be betrothed or to be pledged. It was like the second step in the relationship. And this is the one moment between engagement to being pledged. That's the one moment where the woman in the relationship can get out of the relationship. If something comes up or she's getting cold feet, she finds out the husband-to-be is a Packers fan. She's like, uh-uh, can't do it. I'm out. Right? But this is the one moment where she can say, no, I'm not going to continue on in this relationship. However, if she says, yes, I'm in, and the husband-to-be is in, then they're in. They're locked in. They are pledged. And even though they are not technically married, it is as if they are married. They're committed together. They're called husband and wife, even though they're not technically spouses. And even though they're not technically together, it would still take a certificate of divorce to end the relationship. And so you have a long engagement that you have pledged, which took about a year. And then the third step in the relationship was the marriage proper, which we think of today. Now, both passages here affirm that Mary and Joseph are pledged to be married. They're locked in. They have plans. And not just wedding plans. They have relationship plans. And by that I mean this, that they had talked about and they had agreed upon the boundaries in their relationship. And by that I mean the physical boundaries in the relationship. Joseph is described as a righteous man. He wants to do things according to the book. He wants to do things according to the way that God desires his people to live. And in the passage here, Mary, it says in Matthew 1, Mary and Joseph, right? Joseph's a righteous man. Mary and Joseph are pledged to be married. And in Matthew 1, it says this, a very interesting phrase. It says, but before they came together, I think that's about the most G-rated version of saying they haven't had sex yet. Yeah? In the Luke passage, Mary is described not once but twice as a virgin. And even herself, she says later, how can this be? I am a virgin. And so before they're married, right, before they stand before family and friends and make a covenant with God, before they say, you know, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, I will keep to you only so long as we both shall live, before all of that has happened, Mary and Joseph made plans about how they would live in a physical relationship with each other. And that was in keeping with what God's will is for sexual intimacy. Sex is this wonderful gift that God has given to us in joy. Absolutely. And it's to be experienced and enjoyed within the marriage covenant relationship between a husband and a wife. And we find in this passage, Mary is a virgin. Joseph's a righteous man. They had not come together. Mary and Joseph had a plan. And they stuck to it. but then all their plans come crashing down. I just picture it like, you ever play the game Jenga? And you pull that wrong tile, and before your hands can get up to catch it, the tower just collapses. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, you're going to have a kid. News of Mary's pregnancy reaches Joseph's ears, and he's devastated. Plans are splintering. Plans are falling apart. Plans are crashing down. And Mary asks this most important, intriguing question in Luke 1, verse 34. A question that we can take and come at from a couple of different angles. And in Luke 1, verse 34, Mary says, how will this be? How will this be? We can look at that from a very logical, technical, tangible standpoint. I in my head, this is how my brain works, I can picture Mary saying, excuse me, Mr. Angel Gabriel, I know how this works. I did sit in fifth grade human growth and development class along with my other traumatized classmates, and then my head was filled with all these words and all these things, and my teacher sent me home because they didn't want to look at me over Christmas break and made my parents answer all the questions. Because I'm sure how it happens in Waukee schools is how it happened in first century Galilee too, yes? They learn all the stuff and then they send them home. But Mary is saying, excuse me, Mr. Angel Gabriel, this is not how this works. I know how a woman becomes pregnant. And what you're saying is impossible because, you see, me and Joe, we haven't come together. How will this be? I'm a virgin. And so from a very real, tangible, logical standpoint, there's a logical sense to Mary's question. How will this be? But I want to invite us to listen to that question from another perspective as well. We know from Matthew's passage that Joseph has a reaction. There's hurt and there's pain on his heart because his betrothed, the one he's pledged to, is pregnant and he knows it's not his. And so with that perspective in mind, I want to invite you to listen to Mary's question again. And beyond the logistical, tangible, technical sense, listen to the emotion that is released from these few words. Listen to her own hurt. Listen to her own shock. Listen to her own pain. Listen to her own frustration, her mind swirling and swimming, life's foundation utterly rocked and crumbling before her, right? She's saying, how will this be? How will this be? What about my plans? Well, what about our plans? How will this be? Let me tell you that I resonate with Joseph in this moment. Because when he learns about Mary's pregnancy and the fact that all their hopes and all their dreams, their plans are falling apart, when he hears this, Joseph does something here that I just have to admit, I just need a name that I am earning a PhD in. Because he's got plans. They fell apart. And what does Joseph do? He adjusts his plans on the fly and he creates more plans. Let me give you an example or two. Some of you were around, some of you remember, back in the fall of 2017, Heather and I and our family were planning a trip to Disney with Heather's folks and her sister and family, and we had this little countdown calendar on our desk in the kitchen and kept tearing off the pages. And when we got to page four days left, there it stopped. Because we had to cancel all of our bookings and all of our travels and all of our plans because a little thing called Hurricane Irma was making landfall in Florida the day we were to arrive in Orlando. Now, our kids 5 years ago, it's 5 years ago now, our kids were then 9, 7, 5, and they were upset. They were devastated. And we were too. We were so sad about this. And so Heather and I, within 48 hours, we had rebooked, rescheduled, made new plans to go, this time just our own family, in January. But just like Joseph, have plans. They fell apart and made new plans. Some of you remember that about 6 weeks before my first sabbatical, after being in ministry for 15 years, going to have a sabbatical in the summer of 2020, 6 weeks before us to begin, the world shut down because of a worldwide pandemic. You talk about a lot of plans, 3 months worth of plans, schedules, calendars, bookings, travel, all of it having to be undone. What? We're grateful. The church said, hey, let's postpone this for a year. And so we made new plans, and we had a wonderful sabbatical in the summer of 2021. Some of you remember this past summer, about a week and a half after or before we were going to head out on our 2-year delayed out west trip, just a week and a half before that, Yellowstone experiences once in a century flooding. And so Heather and I are scrambling and recreating routes, and we added a whole new national park to our list, and we could only go to visit Yellowstone for one day. You know, plans were there. They fell apart. We put new plans together, right? The point of the story is this, right? I am becoming all too familiar with having plans, travel plans, blow up and quickly having to re-piece them together. Second moral of this story is this. You might want to think twice about traveling with us. Fair enough. Joseph has plans. Joseph's got plans, and they're falling apart, and he's devastated. And so what he does is he creates some new plans. He's got new plans, and they have good intentions. He says he wishes to divorce Mary quietly rather than expose her to public disgrace. This is actually a very merciful move on Joseph's part. He doesn't want Mary to come under the guilt and the shame and the disgrace of the community. And in fact, there's even a chance that she could be stoned for this. And so Joseph is trying to salvage things by making more plans after the original plans are destroyed. Because you know why? That's what planners do. Plans fall apart, and so we recreate new plans. Now, let me just pause right here just for a moment. Let me just ask us whether we would describe ourselves as a planning addict or not. Does this resonate with anybody? Have we ever experienced anything like this? Have we ever felt this before where we have plans? And they're good plans. They're great plans. They're exciting plans. We're looking forward to these plans. And for whatever reason, they're gone. I'm not the only one that has had this, am I? I think this happens to all of us. I think this happens to the planning addicts and the free spirits. And that's why at the beginning I said, you know, I think there is a message for all of us here. Because whether we are planning addicts or not, there's a good message here for us that Jesus is the gift for us. Jesus is a gift for us because Jesus is a gift even for the planners, whether we make those plans or not. One of the ways that we see that Jesus is a gift, we experience this, is in the common words that the angel shares with Mary and Joseph. First thing the angel says to Joseph, the first thing that's in common what he says to Mary, the angel says to Mary and Joseph, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You see, when plans go awry, when plans start falling apart, fear is an emotion that planners often experience. Planners, we make plans because it gives us this illusion of having control. We're smart enough. We know we are not in control. We know we are not. However, having a plan gives us the illusion that we are in control. And so we have this, it's not about power, it's about comfort. And having a plan makes us feel like we have just a little bit of say in this crazy, out-of-control world that we live in. And so we make plans to have comfort. But when those plans are gone, even when we said, God, I've got good plans. Let's try these. These are good plans. But when those plans dissolve, when those plans are ruined, what happens is fear rushes in, because that false sense of having it all together, of having it all figured out, that false sense is gone. And so we're afraid. Fear creeps in. And that's why these words that Mary and Joseph hear from the angel, these are such critical words to hear. They're critical words for Mary as she has this news from the angel. These are critical words for Joseph as he's like, what do we do? These are critical words for you and me to hear as well. Do not be afraid. Because the one who is coming is a gift for us. His name is Jesus. He's a gift to us. And he is described in another passage as the Prince of, help me out if you know it, peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And he's coming. And I love the lyrics that we're going to sing here in a little while this morning, where it says, come, Jesus, come and meet all our hopes and fears. Jesus is a gift. Jesus is also the gift for the planners, because in him we're reminded that we are valued. Now, I don't know how you're doing yet this morning. If you're starting to kind of fade off, that's okay. I really need you to lock in on this part, because I believe that God has an important word for us in this moment here. Because in Jesus we find that we are valued. Right? The first thing the angel says to Mary, Gabriel says to Mary a couple of things. He says, greetings, hello, you who are highly favored. He says, the Lord is with you. He says, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Now I need us to notice something here. These sentiments shared to Mary, about Mary, are before anything else is said about what's going to happen. These sentiments are shared to Mary and about Mary before Mary has her question. These sentiments are shared to Mary and about Mary before the angel provides assurance. These sentiments are shared with Mary, to Mary, for Mary, about Mary, before Mary accepts. Before anything about Mary or anything before Mary does, these words are shared. Greetings, you who are highly favored. God's favor rests upon Mary before anything else. She is a recipient of God's grace. And friends, the same is true for you and me. As I was writing this message, I was convicted of something. There's something I have said a number of times, and there's a good reason to say it, but I recognize that it can send a message that I do not mean to send. Here's what I've said. I will say, you know, the value I bring to staff, or the value I bring to Westview, the value I bring to my family, or to my friends, is that I can make plans. That I can take something in chaos, or something that's disorganized, or lack of structure, and I can bring it together. I can see the big picture and put in structure and purpose. And I say, the value I bring is this. Now, that's true, friends. That is a gift that God has given to me, and I praise God and I ask God to let that gift be used to bless the church. But that's not what brings me worth. That's not what brings me value. I'm valuable because God says I'm valuable. Like Mary, she has found favor with God because God bestows favor on her. Not because of who she is, not because of what she's done, not because of what she will do. Now, whether we are planners or not, I think this is an incredible lesson for us, that Jesus is a gift for us all, reminding us that our value is not in what we do. Our value is not in who we try to be. We are valuable. We are highly favored because God says we are. Friends, if you take nothing else from this message today, know this. You are highly favored in God's sight. You are valuable. And your value, your worth is because God says you are. And the gift of Jesus coming at Christmas reminds us of that today. We also find in this passage that Jesus is the gift of the planners because he is God with us. This is one of the early things that the angel says to Mary. Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And this comes out a lot even more clear in the Matthew passage, right? Because at the end of the passage, Matthew, the gospel writer, quotes the prophet Isaiah and says, this child to be born, right? The one who's going to be born of a virgin, the one who's going to be born of Mary, this child, they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And you take that great promise and you couple it with the last thing that the angel says to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. You take the fact that God is with us and nothing is impossible with God, and you put that together, and that is a recipe for a most comforting gift for a planner. That we can lean upon God because He's with us, and we can lean upon God because nothing is impossible for Him. Because so often, planners, you know what we do? We trust in one thing. You know what that is? Ourselves. We look to our own brain power. We look to our own mental poise. We look to our own intellectual agility, and we look to our own know-how, and we can do all the things. And when they start to fall apart, we put them back together, and we lean, and we depend upon ourselves. But God is with us. And God is able to do all things. And we can lean on Him, and we can lean on His infinite wisdom. We can lean on His almighty power. And even more than that, we can lean on His great love that He assures us again and again that He only ever wants the best for us within His good and pleasing and perfect will for our lives. And Jesus is the coming of God with us. Jesus is God in the flesh and blood. He is with us. He is proof of that promise. God is with us. Nothing is impossible with Him. We can lean on Him. And finally here this morning, the Jesus is the gift for the planners, because the coming of Jesus Himself is a testimony that God works in unexpected ways. Let me just be honest. The word unexpected, the word unforeseen, the word surprise, right? Those are swear words to planners, yes? Yuck words. And yet what we find in these two passages with Mary and Joseph, they're exhibit A, that God, the wonders of God who works in unexpected ways. I mean, think about this with me. You have Mary. Do you realize how old Mary is? A range of 12 to 14. My daughter is 12 years and 8 months old. Some of my friends here are 13, 14 years old. And the angel Gabriel comes to her and says, you're going to have a baby. You have Joseph, who's a carpenter from a no-name town called Nazareth. What good can come from Nazareth? They're two kids who have been set up to be married. And they do things by the book. And then all of a sudden, all the things that they thought were straightforward and all their plans are falling apart. And it's these two who are going to bear and raise and nurture the Son of God. Right? By the power of the Holy Spirit, Mary's going to become pregnant. And Joseph is the one who has to give this name. Jesus is going to save His people from their sins. He's going to be the earthly father to a person who is a heavenly father. I mean, no planner, no screenwriter would ever put this in a manuscript to give to a Hollywood producer for a Hollywood blockbuster, right? I mean, this is one of those moments where real life far outpaces the movies. But God works in unexpected ways. He works in unforeseen ways. He even works in surprising ways, yes? For the sake of the world, God works in these ways, because Jesus, the gift, is the one who will come and save His people from their sins. And if God can work in that way for the world, you can better believe that God works in unexpected ways for our own sake as well. That God can and will use you and me in ways that we do not, that we cannot foresee. That God will work in unexpected ways that will be far beyond what we ever could ask or imagine or plan or ever hope for. God can work in ways that we cannot see, in great ways, in small ways. God is going to use you and me, planners or not, to accomplish His good and pleasing and perfect will. He's going to work in ways, too, that can change the world. Jesus is the gift for the planners. To those who so desperately want to know what's happening next, to those who so desperately want to set the course of what's happening next, or those who are just along for the ride. Jesus is the gift of the planners. Friends, you know that old quote, I think it's an old quote, the best laid plans of mice and men. You familiar with that? Say it, right? When plans are falling apart. We know that. We know that we have plans and sometimes they blow up. But we also know this morning that Jesus is the gift for us today. And because Jesus is the gift for us who maybe have a little planning addiction, or maybe those of us who say, well, we go with the flow, but we do have some unconscious plans. Because Jesus is this gift for us today, I want to invite us to consider something. I want us to just consider just for a moment here the plans, whether we're making them consciously or they're unconsciously there. But what are the plans that you have for this week ahead? What are the plans that we have for this Advent into Christmas season? What are the plans that we have for the rest of our lives? I want us to consider how, you know, now through the gift of Jesus, how then, when we think about those plans, how then might I, might you, might we be open to how God can and will disrupt those plans and work His will in your life and in mine in mighty and powerful ways and even in unexpected ways. How might God have plans for your week ahead? What plans might God have for you in this Advent and Christmas season? What plans might God have for the rest of your life that we can embrace because we know that Jesus is coming, and Jesus is the gift for the planners. I invite us, whether we're planners or not, let's bow our heads together, let's unite our hearts together, and let's pray together about that now. Please pray with me. God, we know that You are the one who was and who is to come. You, God, have infinite wisdom. You know all things past, present, and future. And in this, God, we place our trust today. In this, God, we find our rest. God, whether we are habitual planners or not, we pray that when we do consider the things to come, when we do make plans, God, we pray that we would seek Your will first, Your desires, because we know Your will is good and pleasing and perfect. God, we name this morning that we have an idea of what the future is going to be, whether it's going to be yet this day, this week, this season. We have ideas of what our life is going to look like. We have hopes and dreams and plans. God, we have ideas of what Advent and what Christmas is going to be as we gather with family. We have ideas of what this week is going to look like with the calendar, with games and concerts and work and meetings and relaxation time. We have plans about what this life's going to look like as far as relationships and careers and school and family and health and more. And God, we know that maybe some of these things, maybe many of these things are going to come to pass. And some of them not. We pray this morning that in the midst of our own planning, we might be receptive to the plans You have for us, even as unexpected and as surprising as they might be. Even if they call us out of our comfort zone, even if they push us out of our own self-perceived self-limits. God, we're so thankful that You have plans for us, great plans for us, and that You can and You will work in unforeseen ways for the good of Your will and for Your glory. We name, God, that we just confess that on this side of heaven, we don't always understand. We don't always understand when there's plans that break down, when there's hopes and dreams that kind of fall apart. We don't understand that, God. And we name, we get frustrated at times. We get frazzled. We get fearful. God, can we ask this morning that You would just meet us there? That You would meet us in our concerns, that You would meet us in our anxieties, that You would meet us in the uncertainty of what's happening? Would You help us, God, to trust even when we don't understand? God, thank You for the gift of Jesus, who He is. He's the Prince of Peace. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Thank You for Him today, for this gift. Lord, this morning we would ask that You'd hear our prayers. Some of the joys and some of the concerns that have been on our hearts today and as a congregation, we're so grateful that Dave's surgery went well. No, we ask for full recovery. We ask today that you would be present to Pam and David and Kroger and their entire family as they mourn the passing of Pam's dad. And God, too, we pray that you continue to bring more and more relief to her pain. And God, would you hear our prayers for Blaze this morning, as well as for his parents, Darren and Kate, siblings Jet and Charlotte. It's been another long week. It's been a tough week. And there's uncertainty in this moment about next steps. And so, God, we call upon you today in ways that are beyond our understanding, and yet in ways that are in keeping with your almighty power. God, would you bring peace upon and within this home? Would you wrap Blaze and his family under the shelter of your wings? And we pray once more for the full and complete healing for this young man. God, in the season of Advent, it's a season of longing, it's a season of yearning, one of hope for the gift that is to come. So Jesus, we cry out to you and we long for your coming here in this Advent season, but also Jesus, we long for your coming when you will come again and make all things new. And so we do sing and pray those words, come and soothe our weary souls, come and meet all our hopes and fears. Jesus, you are our gift this season. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.